a lot of guys look at fishing season as something to do when they can't hunt. You know, I mean, seriously, there are a lot of passionate guys out there, and this isn't news to a lot of those hardcore guys, but it may be to some of our listeners, and that's a fact that you can really tip the table in your favor by being aware of and putting in for special hunt permits and the deadline's the 18th of May there, Rob Ensley.
Coming right up, man. I had my sheet out yesterday, my little spreadsheet going over all my little, my little deals that I put in for my hunts all over the state, you know, but I'm looking forward to getting Mike Jenkins on here from Upfront Outfitters because Mike has this place absolutely wired. You with us there this morning, Mike?
I am. How are you guys this morning?
Doing great, man. You're back in Billings, Montana, actually, right now, aren't you?
I am. Sunshiny Billings, Montana. It's a great place this time of the year.
Boy, I bet. So you actually run Upfront Outfitters here in Washington. Of course, you have another outfit down in New Mexico where you run elk trips down there, too. But you know, we wanted to get you on to kind of shed some light on the special permit application process and maybe try to point folks in the right direction here in Washington in terms of elk hunts, you know, maybe some elk hunts that people might not want to overlook, and also some deer hunts in the state. What can you talk about along those lines, man?
Well, Washington gives several opportunities for special draw permits throughout the state. It's got a little more complicated, I think, with their new system, but there are some great opportunities throughout the state. Mule deer hunters, you know, INIAT and Swatkane units are in that area of the state always produce great bucks. And elk hunters should, you know, be focusing if, you know, people with a lot of points, I would never overlook the Blue Mountains. I mean, you know, we look at some of the bulls that have come out of the blues with the governor's tag shoot. They compete with any bull elk in the world. And so the Dayton unit, Watershed, two cannon units in the blues, great, great opportunities for elk hunters.
You know, and there's the one and only bull elk I've ever got the opportunity to harvest. It was because of a special permit application that I put in. I was an advanced hunter ed hunter. If you go through some other training with the state, in other words, the advanced hunter education program, you can also further tip the odds in your favor there, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. You know, as well as lottery tickets, you know, and I think some of the lottery tickets are kind of late, but it increased odds for drawing a tag by purchasing lottery tickets. Advanced Hunter Education or the Master Hunters Program gives you additional opportunities to harvest, you know, deer and elk. So, you know, just some great opportunities. You know, and West Side too, you know, it's kind of hard. What I do when I'm applying for the hunt is I hunt the West Side, and you know, it's no surprise that I'm a big Roosevelt hunter. But what I do is I bank my points, so I just buy a preference point, so I don't have to apply for an East Side tag. And then once I have 8, 9, 10 points or whatever I feel I need to draw a good quality tag, then.
Well, Mike, let's say I'm a West Side guy. I've been hunting for a number of years, and I now want to start thinking about these specialized tags and kind of, you know, getting a feel of what's available out there. What's a good starting point? I mean, I'm looking for, you know, a decent-sized elk, obviously, and I don't know anything about some of these areas I need to be focused on to start acquiring these tags. You know, where do I start?
Give me a call. I'll help you. You start out, you know, what I do is I tell everybody, if you want to do it on your own and apply, you know, look at some of the draw odds for one, you know. If you're really looking for a quality hunt, you know, you better plan on having about 10 plus points to, you know, unless you're an archery hunter, to realistically have a good chance at drawing a great tag. Now, you could draw any time, but, you know, I'd say 10 points plus for a great tag in the state. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look at, you know, the harvest statistics for the units and then the quality of bulls that come out of those units and determine, you know, where, you know, what a quality hunt would be to me. Now, me, you know, being a New Mexico outfitter also, I do get to hunt quality elk. So, I, you know, for me, I'm looking at units like the Bumping and, you know, Rimrock unit, Cowichi all have great bulls in them for the Cascades, as well as, you know, the Blue Mountains. So there's a lot of units out there that have great elk, some more than others. But if a person, it boils down to scouting. If you do your scouting, you should have a good hunt with one of these special tags.
We're talking with Mike Jenkins of Upfront Outfitters, and you can check out his website, upfrontoutfitter.com. Now, Mike, we've been talking about the point system, and I think it would be doing our listeners a disservice if we didn't explain this a little bit. Basically, every time you apply for a hunt and you don't get drawn, you get a point. And so if you've been putting in for a number of years and haven't been drawn, your bonus points get in the weighted point system give you a little better opportunity to draw these hunts, right?
Yes, that is correct. And you can also pair up with a partner. So, for example, you could have a partner that has 12 points. And if you only have 6 points, if you apply together, they average the points out, which would give you each like about 9.
You wouldn't have the name of somebody with 12 points, would you?
Fair question.
If you have any, I would like to offer them a free hunt. I want sheet points, though, if you know anybody with about 15 sheet points. And those are the other hunts. Now, these sheep and moose hunts in Washington State, while we're talking about special permits, mm-hmm. these are once-in-a-lifetime hunts. And there are some phenomenal, phenomenal rams and bull moose in our state. And good opportunities for archery and muzzleloader hunters to go very high into the record books in our state. So on the once-in-a-lifetime tags, you know, I urge guys, you know, to do their scouting, because every one of these units have the potential to put a record book animal in the books. And on the once in a lifetime, you see a lot of guys shooting, young adults that are, you know, small for what they're capable of, but they just don't know any better, you know. So these are good, you know, good tags to have in our state.
I tell you what, do you want to see some of those bighorn rams float the Yakima River in late October, do some fly fishing. There are rams. Yes. I took the wife over there a couple falls ago, and, I mean, the river was just covered with bighorn sheep.
Oh, and the snake.
Up by Chelan. There's a few up there. But back to the moose thing. Now, there's only just a handful of units over there north of Spokane. Is there a couple of units in there that might be better than the others for folks to put in on?
You know, there's some that have better access than others. Yeah. You know, there's a they're all have potential. You know, the Selkirk is pretty rugged, but there's some good bulls in there, 49 degrees north. Huckleberry, they all produce, you know. I think the bigger bulls are going to come from, you know, north towards Canada.
Yeah.
But even Mount Spokane, you know, has some good bulls in there. So I think if you draw any of those tags, the potential's there for a quality. But if you're looking for, you know, great big, think north.
So now you mentioned that you hunt the west side. Of course, I got a chance to hunt with you last fall down at your camp down the Willapa Hills. When do you set up camp down there, man? When do you get your operation rolling?
Well, we'll be down there scouting all through the summer. You know, I usually have a spike camp or two set up and camp regular. You know, usually I'm like a full-time job. I'll camp all week and then go home on the weekends. And so we'll be running game cameras all throughout the summer, throughout the state. We'll be, you know, looking for sheep and a few guys will be looking for moose. So, you know, and then when the draw results come out, anybody that has one of those once-in-a-lifetime tags that are looking, you know, for potential to go in the books, you know, give us a call and we'll do what we can to, you know, take care of them. And then, you know, west side hunters, I haven't mentioned much about the west side. You know, there's not a lot of great opportunity for Roosevelt draws, but, you know, that Nooksack tag, if a guy draws west side tag, oh, my gosh, you know, they're great hunt. And the Margaret and Tootle are still fairly good producers, too, you know.
Yeah, down the St. Helens area. I put in for those a couple times and been denied.
Oh, yeah.
Denial.
Heavy on the denial train if you apply for those tags. But if you're holding points and you want to apply, you know, you're a West Side hunter, those would be good ones to drop in the bucket.
Now, you never know. Sorry, Mike, you mentioned the fact that even if you get a West Side bull tag and you apply for hunts over here, you can still buy preference points on the East Side, right?
Well, you know, if you apply for a West Side tag, mm-hmm. a special permit, you're automatically given a point. So there would be no need to buy a preference point if you were going to apply for a West Side tag. So at a later time, you could have 8 points, you know, draw on West Side tags, and on your ninth year, you could decide to apply for an East Side tag.
Okay. There we go.
Okay,
there we
that was go. A little unclear there. I thought maybe I could start dipping into the east side.
Double dipping, huh?
Double dipping.
Ensley's eyes kind of glossed over on that one a little bit. So he's Mike Jenkins, Upfront Outfitter, and also one of the few guys that can take you down in New Mexico too, and that's a whole another ball of wax right there. So I tell you what, Mike, we're gonna have you back on again sometime and talk about some of the various out of state destination opportunities you're involved in as well. So
there's a lot of affordable hunts out of state where if a guy doesn't want to wait 10, 12 years to hunt at home, once every few years you could afford to go on a good quality hunt out of state.
You could buy a New Mexico preference point. Go hunt with Mike.
Yeah, go hunt with New Mexico.
Twist my arm.
Yep.
All right, Mike, we'll be in touch and thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, buddy.
A couple things that he mentioned I really want to touch on. And what a great guy.
Of course, I mentioned that I got a chance to spend a little time in their camp with him down there. It's funny, most people, they go set up elk camp. They might be there 7 to 10 days. He's there 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's a full-time job for these guys. I mean, they live in this camp for 3 months. It's their home.
Yeah.
And they have it set up that way. I mean, they've got great guest quarters down there, huge cooking tent, another big tent for the guides, and really a professional deal. So it was kind of an eye-opener for me to get in there. And then, of course, Mike pointed me in the right direction. He had customers in camp, so he said, hey, listen, I got my guys going this way, okay?
Yeah, that way.
But, yeah, basically, he's got to get these guys
in there. Oh, absolutely,
And they did get into him. But he said, hey, if you go this way and go right up over here, there's always elk right up there. And sure enough, I rode my mountain bike up there, and bam, there was elk all over the place. So he's got the place wired. Great hunter. He mentioned the trail cams. They've got trail cams all over the place. Yeah. A great way to kind of expand on your scouting, get these trail cams placed all over. I just bought some Bushnell trophy cams a little bit ago, so when I get them from Alaska, I'm going to be placing those and kind of some of my blacktail hunts in the fall and kind of hopefully getting a little peek into what those stupid critters are doing, because you know how elusive those things are.
Oh, boy.
So the way these, and that's what I want to touch on too, because that's a very interesting aspect to scouting these days, whether it be turkey or deer or elk, is you place these cameras and they've got a little motion sensor on them, okay? So sometimes the wind's going to blow, a leaf's going to fall in front of there, and you get a nice shot of a maple leaf or something, but a lot of times you're going to get pictures of these critters, and so what it does is it tells you when the critter was there and where he was and what it looks like visually. So they're really cool. Matthew and I got to look at a few of these when we went over and hunted Todd Busby's place over east of the mountains, and it's really cool how these things work. You put them in a watering hole or something, gives you some great intel. And WDFW has done a great job on their website. The whole special permit application process and raffle is on the site, wdfw.wa.gov. Click on hunting, and you'll find those special permit apps.
I'll be getting mine in here shortly.
No doubt.
The recon cams, the trail cams, they've been around for a number of years.
Sure,
and everybody, anybody that's doing, good solid recon and scoping out their area and putting in their time, they're using them. Mm-hmm. How come we still haven't seen a picture of Sasquatch?
Exactly.
I'm just throwing it out there. Those things are high tech. You get a trail of ants walking by. They're snapping photos, but we can't find Sasquatch.
People everywhere.
Squatch cam.
We always get these little snippets of video of some goofy thing running through the woods. You can just barely see it.
And it's like, really? What is that?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Little hair follicles and stuff. But yeah, right.